My name is Marcos Brangos. I'm the holistic counsellor at The Natural Practice. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Natural Practice podcast. And today I'm going to be speaking with Dr. Ruth Dyson, Dr. Christina Edwards, and Dr. Gabriella Day. Welcome to you all. We're going to be speaking today about our work supporting patients who are living with trauma or who have experienced trauma. And before I open up the conversations and invite each of you to share your experiences of it, what I want to do is just share a couple of thoughts just by way of introduction. And just to start with the word trauma and its roots, a little bit about that. It comes from the Greek word that means a physical wound, but also refers more to perhaps psychic wounds or difficult experiences, things which have caused abnormal stress. So that just gives us some idea. And quite often people who are living or who have experienced trauma really understand and have a sense that there are many, many layers to it. And that might be something that we speak about today. One of the ways that I work is thinking about us as human beings as having a physical, an emotional, a mental, and a spiritual aspect to how we live our lives and our layers. Clients with whom I've worked know that I often work being interested in a person and their whole wide context, their family of origin, things that create meaning for them. And that could be transgenerational topics. So quite often I've experienced working with patients that their trauma doesn't necessarily just belong to them. It could well belong to generations that have come before them. And that can sometimes happen with emotional traumas. So I'm interested in what belongs to the patient, but what might belong elsewhere. And two more things that I wanted to share before I invite Ruth to share how she works with and understands trauma is, one of them is that there's a really lovely ancient Japanese practice, and it's called kintsugi, and it's a way of actually mending ceramic bowls when they break. And so imagine a ceramic bowl shatters into its various parts. And kintsugi is the practice of gathering back the parts and then gluing them back together again, but gluing them back with a great deal of patience and care, often with a lacquer which is infused with gold or with silver. So it's a very meditative, slow process. And I'm told by those who practice it that often it requires you sitting with the bowl for quite some time with its parts as they slowly glue back together again. But why I'm mentioning that in relation to our topic of how it is to work and support people who are living with trauma is that that whole art of kintsugi has at its kind of center a belief that when we bring our parts back together again, there is something that manifests that's greater than the original fragmented parts. There's something more beautiful, more whole, more integrated. So I think I've said enough for now. I would really like to invite my colleagues one by one just to share a little bit about their experience. So Ruth, if I can come to you to say a little bit about your work and practice and how you support patients with trauma, that would be great.
Thank you. And it's lovely to be here and speaking with you all today. I think it's a really kind of important topic. And I guess, you know, some people, or most people, as you mentioned, have experienced some sort of trauma, some difficulty in life. And it's how then, you know, that goes on to affect you. And, you know, it can affect you in ways that we're not always completely aware of. And physical symptoms sometimes can be related to previous trauma. So sometimes we're sort of working with patients and you start to find that there are things from the past that have a significant impact on their current experience and their current symptomatology. I work as a hypnotherapist at the practice, and also I work as a GP in the NHS, and I bring that and work through an integrated medicine and a sort of a lifestyle medicine approach. So it's interesting that even some of the lifestyle medicine is related to trauma. We know that children who've experienced adverse events are much more likely to go on and make choices later in life, perhaps that can be detrimental for their health and well-being. So I think it can be relevant for a lot of people, a lot of the patients that we're seeing. I'd like to pick up on a couple of the points that you mentioned, because I think they do kind of carry over into how I take an approach with patients as well. We've talked a little bit about the layers and kind of going deeper and realizing that there is something there that maybe is related to past trauma. You've spoken with that beautiful metaphor about kind of putting the ball back together, and certainly through hypnotherapy, in supporting the part, the child, the inner child that perhaps experienced that trauma, and healing that part, and then reintegrating that part with the idea that the whole is then greater than the sum of the parts. So that can be a very sort of supportive approach. An ability to understand that, currently you're doing the best that you can with the resources that you have available and the experiences that you've had. And if we can work to support that part that maybe has experienced adversity or has, developed physical symptoms, that maybe those symptoms are a message that, there is something that needs to be done. There is some work that needs to be done. And then reintegrating that can be helpful. So I think it can be relevant to a lot of work that we're doing, and that it's not something perhaps that is the first question. Often it's something that comes out over time when you're working with someone, that maybe you do something on the surface, but then find that there is something a little deeper and start to work with that as that trust and relationship builds up. I think patients are then feeling that they can go to those deeper layers. This is something that's done in a supportive way, so that you've got help and support in approaching what can be really difficult past experiences.
Ruth, thank you so much. I really enjoyed hearing you speak, especially, and maybe we can come back to it later, the symptoms as a message. And how we can work with that. I'd love to come to Dr. Christine Edwards. Christina, you're a doctor of chiropractic. It would be lovely to hear from you now and how you work.
Yes, I'm a chiropractor, and we specialise in the disorders of the neuromusculoskeletal system. And so a lot of people would associate my line of work to maybe the physical effects of trauma, if following an accident or skiing accident, car accident, whatever. But I have found quite early on, actually, in my profession, that the effects of emotional trauma does have a profound effect on the body. Just having your fight and flight switched on all the time can result in not just back pain or shoulder pain, but just symptoms in the body that most people wouldn't recognize as coming from an emotional traumatic event. I remember early on in my career that I had a tradesman come in who had episodes of back pain in the past that would resolve itself within 24 hours. But this particular episode had been going on for some time. And, I gave him the form to fill out, and it's a quite in-depth form, and he filled it out, with very little detail. So I had to run through the form with him. And just through the course of our conversation, I asked him, well, have you recently suffered any traumas, any bereavement? And he just said, his mum had passed away a couple of weeks prior, and he had buried her, and he just started to cry. He admitted that he hadn't cried at the funeral. He hadn't cried in front of his partner. He was apologizing because he was this 6-foot strapping tradesman who was just weeping in my room. And I had to explain to him, actually, this episode of back pain, yes, may have something to do with picking up something quite heavy, but it's equally just an effect of the emotion that you've been carrying. and this is how it plays out. So as a chiro, it's important to recognize that, yes, there are physical aspects to the pain that people are experiencing, but sometimes there is a emotional background to it as well.
Thank you so much. I'm really touched by the way you describe that encounter with your patient in the room, and allowing time, I guess, for the story, the deeper story to emerge. And Christina, we'll come back, I'm sure, to hear from you later. I'd love to turn finally to Dr. Gabriella Day. Gabby, good morning to you. Just, it would be lovely to hear about how you work and how you understand, kind of support patients.
Morning. Yes, so I work as a homeopath, and so I use homeopathy to assist with this, but also just a lot of communication. So trauma is, you know, closely related to fear, and you know, most of us are aware that fear, fight and flight response, is designed for primitive men. You know, in the jungle, the tiger appears and you either face the tiger, fight the tiger, or escape from the tiger. And it's supposed to be a short term, very short episode, and you either survive or you don't survive, and that's it. And in that case, fear doesn't really stay in the body. Fear is a sort of transient thing. It comes and it goes and it's dealt with. A tool that we use to make all sorts of things up. And sometimes, you know, after an episode, a traumatic episode, when we're thinking about the episode, we try to rationalize it. We think about what if this had happened? Was it because I was too weak? Was it because I was a bad person? You know, we think about all sorts of things, which a great deal of it may be totally irrelevant to the actual episode. But we build up these stories, which we then retain, and it takes on greater significance for us. And part of the process of dealing with that may be that people have had these thoughts kind of subconsciously, but haven't really looked at them and realized how they don't really make sense. And just by drawing that out and looking at it, you can deal with that, and then you can let it go. Sri Yukteswar said, look fear in the face and it will cease to trouble you. And I think that's what you can try and do, is bring it out, look at it, and realize how a lot of it is irrelevant. You don't need to be carrying it. The other thing, though, you know, the key thing about trauma, often trauma is related to childhood. And as a child, you are weak and you are dependent on your primary caregiver or other caregivers. And when your primary caregiver or your other caregiver behaves either erratically towards you or you know, makes you afraid at times, as a child you assume that your caregiver is perfect. So if they're behaving in that way towards you, your assumption, your way of rationalizing it, is there's something wrong with you. And if you imagine that kind of like a parasite that gets inside that says, there's something wrong with me, and it buries itself. But this is happening maybe at a time that you don't really fully remember this, and later on when you're looking back. But this sort of parasite inside you is telling you that in some way there's something wrong with you. And you then carry that for the rest of your life. And so you feel like there is something fundamentally wrong with you. And the thing is, as long as you keep that buried, you can't deal with it. So it's only by taking that out and looking at it that you can see again that is not true. The poet Rumi said, the wound is the place where the light enters you. And if we can support the patient to go there and find out what this wound really is and take it out, you know, then they can really grow from that experience. But I'd like to just, you know, and echo what Ruth Dyson was saying about, you know, if somebody's had a traumatic event, they have felt unsafe. You know, not every patient is going to feel safe with every practitioner. It's not either the patient's fault or the practitioner's fault, but it may be that they don't feel safe to bring it out. And if they don't feel safe, then it shouldn't come out, because you need to feel safe and held if you're going to bring this stuff out. You need to be able to trust who you're giving it to and sharing it with, that there is going to be no judgment whatsoever. Then the trauma will come out and it can be discussed and looked at, and hopefully, you can just let it go and move forward. that sounds like a quick and easy process, but it's, you know, the more complex the trauma is, that's not going to be a quick and easy process. But that would be how I would feel about the process.
Wow, Gabby, thank you so much. What I want to do is tease out some themes that I've heard and then just give a couple of minutes for us just to see if there's anything we wanted to pick up. But there were themes of the symptoms of trauma perhaps carrying a message and a route into understanding. And you've all spoken in different ways about the ways in which an event or a series of events, and it could be from childhood, as Gabby was saying, or it could be an accident, irrespective of where the trauma comes from. It seems like part of our role is to journey with our patients to understand and to be deeply respectful of, thank you for that, Gabby, this the safety required to go to the places. I often say to people that I'm working with, if something has been buried, like a bit of your pottery has got buried, it's been buried for a very good reason, and that's part of our survival strategy. So it's not my job to tear open all the parts and find them all. It's my job to create as much safety as we can so that you can make the journey and collect the pieces of yourself and of your history and of your life and of your choices. So just in the last few minute or two, I'd really like to invite any thoughts, anything else that's been sparked from this conversation from any of you.
One of the things that we haven't perhaps explored, you mentioned it briefly, Marcus, but was around this sort of transgenerational understanding of trauma. And that can come from different aspects, can't it? So, I mean, that can be, you know, within a family, and, you know, you're hearing stories of grandparents that experience trauma, and that has a knock-on effect. It can be through, Gabby, you mentioned about, you know, a child that maybe doesn't have a secure attachment with their caregiver, a reliable, that unconditional love and acceptance. And that parent themselves may have experienced difficulties in childhood and not learned perhaps, you know, that safe parenting style from their own parents. So there's this kind of psychological sort of transmission, if you like. But I guess from the, you know, from a science background as well, there's a physical element to this through looking at epigenetics. So, you know, we all have our genes and you know, we can't change those, but actually genes can be switched on and off. And there have been studies looking at, you know, famine and how that affects generations to come, not just the next generation, but even after that. So, you know, babies that aren't even an egg yet, it can have that knock-on effect. And so some of the work that we're doing, with hypnotherapy, sometimes I'm looking at switching things on and adjusting kind of physical processes, but also we're looking at addressing the trauma from the past. And I know we all have our own, you know, ways of working with that, but I think that is useful to bear in mind. It's not just what we carry with us, you know, it's what has gone before that can have an impact as well.
Thank you, Ruth. Really, yeah, absolutely. Gabby or Christina, anything you'd like to conclude with?
It's obviously a difficult place to go. You know, long buried, deep, or significant trauma is going to be a difficult place to go. But the rewards of dealing with it, and I always think, you know, often patients who've had trauma don't feel that they're necessarily worthy of dealing with their trauma and moving forward and being allowed to feel good. But often I'll say to patients, look, if you work through this and you get over this, think how much you're going to have to offer other people, because everybody who works through traumas like this, they learn from it. And when they learn from it, they can support, and it improves everybody's understanding of other people. So there's huge knock-on benefits for their friends, family, and their own children in the future.
I really like that, absolutely. And before I conclude, Christina, was there anything else you wanted to throw into our collective pot?
I'm just very grateful to be part of the natural practice, actually, having, you know, a place where I've got so many wonderful colleagues who I am able to refer patients onto when they come through my doors with what they suspect to be a pain in the body. And then we're discovering that there may be a pain in the heart or the soul that I can refer them to my wonderful colleagues. I'm very, very grateful to be part of such a holistic and blessed practice, quite frankly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to conclude with that metaphor that we started off with of the bowl and that practice. And I think what I hear from all of you is this sense that, yes, it's perhaps a complex, a deep, a layered process. It can take time as we work through as human beings our trauma, but also the opportunities that come from bringing those pieces of ourselves back together again. And I do really believe that there is something about the craft of being human and of the choicefulness, the wisdom, the compassion, and all those qualities that we bring to ourselves, but also to the people around us as we go through our own kind of repair of our vase or of our bowl. So thank you all to Ruth and to Christina and to Gabby. I really have appreciated this conversation. If you're listening to this podcast and you'd like to get in touch with any of us, then the best thing to do is to contact the Natural Practice reception telephone number, and we'll include that in the podcast write-up. And by all means, just we'd all be delighted to hear from you. So once again, thank you all very, very much. It's been great speaking to you. See you again.